Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today, I'm always excited when I bring on a new co-host, but I'm actually more excited today because we have a gentleman coming on who plays in a couple different circles that I've been able to gain audience into over the past year or two. One of the first circles is if any of you are the current listeners and you guys go back to episode 001 from September, our first kickoff episode was with the man, the myth, the legend, Michael O'Neill of the Solopreneur Hour podcast, one of my past coaches who helped me create Live the Fuel. So shout out to Michael. This gentleman's also fellow connected world of the Solopreneur Hour and the Proudly Unemployable. We actually share the same yellow t-shirt. We'll chat about that. But also, it turns out we were at the same event in June, and we physically did not actually meet up, but I was out there and I connected with a bunch of other Proudly Unemployable people at Thrive. And for those of you who listen to the show, we've had numerous Thrive co-hosts on here, more than my Proudly Unemployable circle, because we're going to talk a little bit about our love of Thrive as well, because if you haven't heard the other episodes, it's just a powerful event. So again, this gentleman is an entrepreneur. He's been powerful enough to create his own brand behind his name. So his name is his website, ellerywells.com. He's empowering and equipping entrepreneurs. More importantly, he's got a kick-ass book out there called The Exit Strategy that we're going to talk about as well. And but without further ado, the proudly unemployable gentleman himself, a fellow attendee of Thrive, Make Money Matter, and the author of Exit Strategy, Ellery Wells. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. That's a great intro. Anytime I get to hang out with people from Thrive specifically, it's always a good time. So I'm happy to be here. And again, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's talk about that real quick, because I feel like sometimes I'm the geek about Thrive. And am I being too geeky about it? I don't know. But because Live the Fuel is about being fired up and epic life. And I'm just telling, I've been a networker, business and personal. I've been to numerous events. And I'm like, dude, that event kicked ass. What is your feeling on that?
I think there are a lot of Thrive fanboys and girls out there. you know, it's interesting to me. I've had similar conversations with people, and I think with Thrive, it's the three word kind of tagline. It's the make money matter. And when you get people that are at a lot of these conferences, you get people that would focus on the first two words, make money. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but at some point, you can sit on just piles of cash and it's not going to ultimately bring you happiness. And people who come to that conference for those two words ultimately, I think, leave with a sense that this was just another conference, because they don't get it. It's that third word. It's the matter part that makes Thrive stand out among a lot of the other conferences that have honestly been fairly well done and have a pretty good audience too. So being a fanboy of that and making or wanting your life to mean something other than a chase of a dollar, I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. And I would consider myself a Thrive fanboy too. So
I think
can't criticize and throw myself in there at the same time.
That's one of the cool things we got out of that event is like, and I'll be guilty of it. Before that event, I've had that struggle of, is it wrong to chase the dollar? You know, is it wrong to want to be not just purposefully successful, since purpose was a big word that we took out of that event, but also financially successful. And one of the biggest things that I think that event really just helped bring full circle is that piece of, it is okay to embrace financial success. And it's important because the more financial success you have, whether you're an entrepreneur or a corporate employee or a person who's just trying to do something more with their money, it's like there's the point, as I'm going to get to there, is that if you are financially successful and you're efficient with your money, you're no longer necessarily chasing the dollar. You're earning the dollar to create more purposeful results from that dollar. So, I mean, what is your feeling on that?
It's a whole lot easier to give from your excess. You know, if you've got a lot of money, it's a lot easier to take time off and do charity work or volunteer or give to a church or the Red Cross or something like that. So one of the things I'm pretty sure Cole opened this year and last year with a similar story that about the phrase, you know, you can't buy happiness. And his response is always, you're shopping at the wrong store.
Yes.
And talking about the ability for him to go in and buy food or toys for kids in need. You know, whenever I went on some mission trips when I was in high school, and those things cost money. You got to fly to get there. You got to get shots and those like that. And if you're completely broke, whether you're an employee or an employer as the entrepreneur, it's a lot. It's not impossible, but it's a lot harder to help people when your own cup doesn't flow over. I'm sure that's a biblical reference to something.
Great reference. If your cup does not floweth over, how are you supposed to have the resources necessary to provide? And a lot of people, and I will say, I've been doing charity work for years. I've literally built homes with other volunteers for Habitat for Humanity and lots of other stuff. I've been on boards of charities and everything else. And at 39, I'm proud of that because I'm like, I'm not even that old yet. But that's one thing that I learned years ago is that a lot of these charitable efforts, it's not always about the money, right? Like a lot of time we need, as somebody who's run events, like sometimes we just need horsepower. We need people there. And so people say, hey, you don't have to be rich to give back. So I do want to clarify that. But there's another side effect of this. If you don't have some of the financial freedom to create the time freedom to deliver that horsepower, we're still tying it back to that dollar, right? It's like, hey, are we actually freeing up financial freedom to create time freedom to be able to deliver that horsepower, go to that charity event, build a house, or in Cole Hatter's example for Thrive Make Money Matter, the guy, I believe he founded that charity down in Mexico, right? Like they were literally taking toys and food and everything else down to support those children in Mexico. And he goes back every year now. It's like a retreat for his people and his business group and his coaching group.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not about the pursuit of money, even when you take the altruism or charity out of it. It's not always about the path to money. But let's say for the example is if you don't have the money to take off of work, you can't give your time for free.
Yes.
I mean, that's a pretty clear thing, way to look at it. And you don't have to be a millionaire, but if you're making living the paycheck to paycheck and you can't afford to go and volunteer at an orphanage or anything like that, forget buying them things, just volunteering your time. That's a big deal. And it's important when you're looking at, I think the tagline of your show, your website, was bringing all of this stuff together, your health, your business, and your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And you whatever it is, you've got to manage it.
You're getting
and
it,
sometimes
getting
that's
it.
Money, sometimes that's time. You know, you got to be healthy enough to lift rocks and cinder blocks to build an orphanage.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that go into giving back. It's not always about money, but
money does make things easier. Let's not fight that point.
It does,
right?
Really. Yeah.
But to be fair, to what you're talking about too is if you're trying to leave a job, right? And obviously your book, Exit Strategy, which we're going to get into here. And again, people can find this on Amazon, by the way, for our listeners. Like if you are hitting pause on this and you just heard Exit Strategy and you should be writing that down, but go to Amazon and check it out. Exit Strategy. You'll see it. It's by Ellery Wells. And actually, the price point's not too shabby, my friend. Only $15.99. I've bought books way more expensive than that.
Yeah, me too.
but that's the point, right? Is what are you doing with the dollars you make now? What are you doing with the resources that you have now? And to your point, thank you for referencing my website and the tagline of the show is we fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. I chose those three domains because I studied psychology in college while I was doing marketing and I did some of my own self-development over the years. And there's so many domains that we can be focusing on as far as balancing things in our life. Obviously, there's health, business, lifestyle. But in psychology, they teach you there's more domains than that. You have your faith, your religion. You have love and relationships. You have you know, not just your health, your fitness, and then not just business, but you have career development and you have self-development. And there's also that the brain segment of that, right? Are you developing your education or furthering your knowledge as you grow? So there's so many domains to focus on. So I was like, all right, man, I got to pick three. the power, right? It's like, it's so easy for people to get overwhelmed. But I will tell you, years ago, I remember reading in numerous books and then studying this again with psychology. They talk about memorization. And more experts than not have usually leaned on the fact that it's very easy to memorize things in groupings of three or just work with things in three or less, which is why I chose three domains. I said, okay, if I had to narrow it all down, what have I struggled with and what have other people that I've worked with over the years struggled with? And it's usually health and fitness, business, or trying to create that freedom for business, and obviously just in general that overall healthy lifestyle. So that's why we chose those three areas, and I'm glad you picked up on that.
Very cool. Yeah, I think I was trying to find the under your purpose section, and I don't know if I got them all right. Maybe I did, but yeah, you're right. To add on that, we were on a cruise last week and. Yeah, down to Honduras, Belize, and Cozumel, Mexico.
You hit Honduras, Belize, and Cozumel, Mexico all on the same trip? That's a nice cruise. Yeah. I've never done a cruise.
It was a full 7 days. But when you're out in the jungle, you see how these things are ecosystems. How, like, here's an example. I think we were in Belize going on a riverboat, like Miami Vice kind of style. It was really awesome.
Miami Vice kind of style. Hold on real quick. I got to pause you on that. You're on a riverboat, Miami Vice style. And I'm old enough to know what that is. So, like, are you guys, like, on, like, a speedboat? Like, hauling ass down a river? Or what's going on? Almost like you could be chasing drug lord type thing, or what?
Yeah, it was sort of like that, just coming around these big turns. It wasn't quite a speedboat, but we're going pretty fast.
Nice, that's cool.
Yeah, but that's what the driver said. It was more of his analogy of Miami or something like the Miami Vice driving school or something.
I love international perspective on our crazy viral TV shows.
Yeah, it was pretty fast and it was really cool. But one of the things that we saw was, when a tree dies, you get termites to eat the tree and get back to the soil. Well, these termites create a nest, mm-hmm. and then the ants come in and kick the termites out, and then anteaters come in and eat the ants. Yeah. And when you're in that kind of environment, you know, we don't see the ecosystems here in suburbia. You know, we cut our grass and there's birds and whatnot. But when you're in that kind of environment, you really see how one thing really goes into another.
It's a full cyclical cycle. Like, nature truly has, like, everything exists in nature for a reason. Like, there's a circle of life. I think that's kind of what you're talking about right there. There's that circle of life.
It is. Yeah, there is. And what you're doing with your show, Scott, is touching on those three things, because you can't have a really successful business if your health is just down the drain. You can't – I mean, and if either one of those are not good, I mean, we can't even get into talking about lifestyle.
Oh, God, no.
So I just brought that up because I had been there, and it was a very literal and clear example, whether I described it that way or not. But the health, the business, and the lifestyle, those are very interconnected things, especially when you're talking to people who are starting a business. If you neglect – or you get one of those out of balance, you become a workaholic, and you're like, you know, working really hard as an entrepreneur has been very glamorized. But, you know, if you're doing something that just burns you out, just go back and work for somebody else. You got to have the balance. So that's why I brought that up. And I like that your show touches on those three things, especially with the personal connection to you. Well,
thank you. I'm honored on that. I appreciate that, because it's important to me that the branding obviously is getting through to potential listeners, and obviously even also to you're my audience as well, obviously getting the right co-hosts on and making sure that you guys easily connect with the messaging that we're creating here for the listeners, because it's about them, right? It's not about me. It's not necessarily about you. Like, you and I are here to come together as co-hosts on this show, not just to help them learn about exit strategy, which we're definitely going to talk about here, and what, you know, where you came from and where you're at today, but to give even more examples about this balance, this struggle that so many people have in their life. And I mean, and granted, you and I are both here in the USA, but I have downloads from other countries. So I know that other people are listening. So I'm sure that the same struggles we have here in the US of A exist in many other countries as well, in different forms, right?
Yep.
But I will say, I think we really do have much more corporate hell going on here. I just have to reference that because I've been there, done that, and I know you have as well.
You know, I'm in a mastermind with a guy in Canada and a guy in the UK, and then we've got an older guy. He probably would not like the fact that I called him an older guy, but he's in Florida, and we were talking about what you said, and apparently the businesses in UK don't like throttle their employees all the time.
No,
it was very, very different. I thought that's kind of random, but
you are correct. Literally last night, a friend of mine had just flown back from a business trip, with his wife, or his wife was still out there, but he flew back separate because he had to go back to his corporate job. So he has, so basically him and his wife started her company and he still has his corporate gig. So she's free. He's technically not, but he helped her get her company going. So powerful move. So whenever they have the occasional business trip, he does create, he's been in his company long enough. He's got enough vacation time. He could take a day or two of time freedom to create some balance and go on a business trip with her and go experience a conference. Like they were at a conference and a trade show event. And it's funny. So he and I are best of friends. We used to ski race coach together and everything else. So, but before I left his house last night, I just went over real quick. We hung out. I had one glass of wine and we were just, we decided to go watch a movie together. Like, you know, we're good old friends. So known each other for God over like probably 15 years at least. So, and then it's funny because every time I'm there, he ends up complaining about his job and he brings up his phone. He's like, he's like, look at this. He's like, look at this. My boss is emailing me at 11:30 at night. And I said, well, is he? And he's like, well, yeah, he just did. And I'm like, yeah, but if you would not have looked at that inbox, would you have known that he had emailed you tonight or you would have just been fine tomorrow? And so I'm kind of fast forwarding the point of this story here, but that was kind of my message to him. I'm like, bro, I know you don't love your job or you don't like your boss per se, but you have certain control principles that you could be implementing here.
Oh, like, that's so true.
You know, like you're at home, bro. Like don't check your email, like unplug. I don't know what to tell you. Like he criticizes me because I'm on my phone a lot, but I'm doing fun stuff. Like I'm like growing my brand and I'm doing social media stuff and everything else. And he busts my balls about that. And I'm like, dude, I'm doing something I love. You're checking your phone, checking your corporate email, and then complaining because your boss is emailing you about how instead of canceling a calendar invite, his boss told him he should have proposed a new time. Like that's how much of a jerk his boss is. Like, dude, the guy's been my buddy's been at the company for like over 15 years, and his new boss is literally criticizing him because he basically canceled an invite to a meeting because his boss had already invited him to another meeting. So his boss was literally double inviting him to two different things. So I know you would get a kick out of this because you and I don't miss this.
No,
I had to share this for you because I wanted to hear your reaction to this.
I was in corporate America for a very long time, and Michael and I talked about that in quite a bit of depth.
Oh yeah, on episode 513 was it? Or
oh,
I think it was 513.
Okay,
I don't know. I'm gonna check that right now, actually. But keep going.
I'm sure you will be diligent and have it in the show notes.
We will.
Everybody
absolutely
should listen to that one, especially if you're in a corporate job, because we went into a lot of things that I hadn't even talked about in a couple of years. But part of that is knowing just the craziness. And then to our original point, my guy and my friend in the UK was like, yeah, I'm having a kid and they just told me to take a couple months off. It wasn't a big deal. I'm like,
yeah,
what are you talking about?
That doesn't happen here in the States. Like that was the UK guy from the UK.
Yeah.
See, that's kind of funny because, are you still in Solo Lab?
No, I'm actually not a part of that.
Oh, okay. But you're in the Proudly Unemployable group. So my VA for the show, and actually he's, I'm looking at Facebook Live right now. Shout out to Martin, bro. He's clicked in and watching our live Facebook feed on Live the Fuel. So Martin Hollins is the guy who founded Eva.fm, which is it's a virtual assistance business for busy podcasters. So he helped me launch the show. He's been with me since day one. He does all the audio editing, my show notes, like everything. He's like the backbone of the show. I could just focus on great co-hosting with you. But he's a fellow guy where he's still in that transition state, right? He's still building it so he can handle the transition. But by the way, real quick, I was right. It is episode 513, How to Handle the Transition from 9 to 5 to Solopreneur with Ellery Wells on the Solopreneur Hour podcast. So again, to our listeners, you guys remember Michael Neal from episode 1. This will be in the show notes on livethefuel.com. We'll hyperlink it so you guys can find it. But that is a great episode. I agree with Ellery, is that they really dig into some of that stuff and some of Ellery's story, which we're going to learn a little bit about here today. But we're going to lean it more towards, as you've already hinted at, your understanding of this struggle for people of how they're balancing health and business and lifestyle. And that little blurb you just gave us about that UK story is crazy. Like, that's, I wonder if it's that nice for Martin as well with his job.
It was, sorry, I opened up Facebook to go to your thing and one of my clients started messaging me. I had to figure out how to mute this or not watch you.
Yeah, that's a hard thing too. Yeah, don't do that. Don't try and watch the live feed.
Very different. And my friend in Canada, he kind of echoed a similar thing. So we've got this mentality of hustle. I'm sure there's people in your audience that know Gary Vee, and he's all about hustle. And,
oh, everybody and I, loves Gary Vee, man. Gary Vaynerchuk, yeah. The hustle master.
I'm a big fan of Gary's, yeah. And I got to meet him and shake his hand at the first Thrive, which was pretty cool.
Oh, you got me.
That lifestyle bit. Here's a crazy thing that I'll tell you about Gary. He's always about the hustle, right?
But he is always about the hustle. That's Gary Vee. That's his brand. I'm not gonna take anything away from that. But
he's meticulous about his time management, though, Scott. He told so we were in like November or something. We were the last quarter of the year,
okay,
and he was there on a Saturday. And you know, he told us that that was the first Saturday of the entire year that he was not home with his family.
Wait, how long ago is this? Because you're hinting at how Gary Vee is Mr. Hustle, but he's also anal with his time management. But I also know earlier when he first started blowing up, he was so obsessed with blowing up that he was in Mr. Super Gary Vee hustle mode. So his lifestyle balance was hurting. His health and fitness was crappy, and he wasn't spending time with his family. So was this recent or was this
a while ago? Last year's Thrive. So 14, 15 months ago.
That's right, because he was at the first Thrive. So he even admitted there that he was still struggling with that time with his family. That was the first time.
What I found surprising is that we have this image of Gary going 24/7, but it's really like 18/5. And his
still
point
18/5
was,
is also not healthy either, by the way. 18 hours, or 18/6, right? 18/6, yeah. Do the math.
I think his point, though, Scott, and what really amazed me is that he gets all of that stuff done, but he prioritizes the lifestyle part of everything. So when he's home with his family, he does shut off the electronics, and maybe he'll go into a Giants game or something like that. But
that's a Jets year, game. Let's be real.
Jets.
If Gary Vee hears this, which I hope he does eventually, like, oh, don't say that, because I'm a Giants fan and he's a Jets fan. That's a big no-no.
I'm not much of a sports person, I should have known, but it was cool to know he gets all of that done. He's very efficient with his time, but he still makes time to be home, to be there for his kids. And he shuts down.
I am glad you're bringing that point up, because that's on that lifestyle balance, or the healthy balance of lifestyle and business, is that it's a very good point. You look at everything he does, social media, YouTube, the Instagram he's got, his brand is hustle, but he is the first one to admit over the past few years, rewind a couple years ago, that he was not good at that. He was not healthy. He was not focusing on his fitness. Now he does have a personal trainer and he does balance that. So to your point right now of yeah, he has made a change. Yes, he when he is working, he's hustling. But to your point, he's also a scheduling nut, and he's figured out that it is crucial to schedule that time when you need to be just shutting it all down and being there with your family. That's a very great point.
Yep. Schedule the downtime and whatever you're doing, just be present and
well, now on that point, do you have your own reference on that? I mean, can you give our audience an example of how, I guess let's kind of relate you to Gary, right? It's like, okay, back in the day, this was Ellery, and then this is Ellery now. When it comes to that same exact point you're talking about right now, which is, okay, what's your hustle schedule versus your family time, lifestyle balance schedule, hours, et cetera?
Scott, I think it depends on where we are in our life and what our goal is. Whenever I was building my brand really initially, and I still had my corporate job, I was getting up about 3 hours before I had to be at the office. My commute was anywhere from like 12 to 20 minutes. So it wasn't, you know, getting ready to go sit on a train or get in the car. But I was reading and I was creating content.
Sure.
So there was an intense focus on that. And then I'd come home and I would, you know, eat dinner or something. And then I would work till like midnight or something. And I was really putting in the work there. And then, as we can talk about if you want to, I got fired from my job and had to figure out, do I polish the resume or do I figure out how to make the business work?
So yeah, when you got fired, okay, let's be real. Was it, obviously initially it was probably bad.
it sucked for a while.
Holy crap, I just got fired. But in the long run, it was a blessing, right? Isn't that part of what kind of led you to writing Exit Strategy and all that?
Yeah, it was the challenge that I went through at that process is really how a lot of my clients relate to me.
Okay.
I kind of avoided the disgruntled employee for a while because I thought it would kind of associate me and my brand with negative emotions. But
well, that's also inevitable, right? I mean, if you are stressed at your job and you're stressed in life, it's a battle. It's very hard to battle that negativity, and that takes probably twice as much energy to keep that positive mindset throughout that transition. We all struggle with that.
It is, but every time I mention, you know, the knot in your stomach when you log into your computer or how crappy it feels when you are on your commute, maybe Monday morning, and you just sit there in your car not wanting to turn the radio off because you're just dreading going inside. When I talk about those things, Scott, that's when people are like,
they relate to you.
That's me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, man. Like over the years, there's been jobs that I loved. But there was jobs just like you're talking about, or usually it's at the end of every job's life cycle where I got to that point just like you're talking about, that knot in your stomach, that knot where it's like, oh my God, I can't stand coming in here every single day. And it's like, what am I going to do? Is there a way? Like I spent 5 years with a company, and what I did to do that was I just worked harder and then found a way to get a promotion thinking that would fix the problem.
I'm so glad I didn't get promoted.
Exactly, right? You don't want to get promoted because what you don't realize is if you get promoted, usually, especially if you go into management, now you're responsible for other people's bull crap. So now you've got your crap that they're already kind of laying down on you, and then you got to be responsible for other people's crap. So it's really, wait a minute, I got promoted thinking that more money is going to make it better, but in reality, I didn't dig into the root cause of what I was truly looking for and what I should have been developing for myself. And all I did was amplify the problem by adding more responsibility, but justified it because of more money. Now, you just said you didn't really chase the promotion factor, but
I didn't get promoted though.
Oh, okay.
So you did chase promotion,
but you were glad you didn't get it. Okay.
Yeah, I did not get it. So the guy who did get it is the one who fired me.
Ah. Oh wait, hold on. Really? See, I haven't read the whole book yet, so this is crazy. So this is I just added it to my book list on Amazon. So you literally missed a promotion. The other guy got it, and then as soon as he got it, he fired you. Is that how it works?
Those are the bullet points.
Okay.
There's some time in there. I took over his account set and I crushed it.
he probably saw you as an opponent and wanted to get rid of you because you were outperforming him.
Yeah. And I mean, a case in point is 3 weeks before I was shown the door, I got a $20,000 commission check. So I did really well. Sales rep of the year, sales rep of the quarter.
$20,000 commission check? I'd say you did pretty good job on that sales process. Yeah, that's pretty rockstar.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a $3.2 million deal to some accounts in California. It was massive, and it took us a long time. And it was the account set that he just left. And I got in there, and I did it, and then closed it, and made a bunch of money. And I didn't do everything perfectly. I don't think I was fire-worthy. There's a episode 49 of on my podcast is when my wife interviews me and we're sitting right in this room, and people really like that one. But it's also an exit strategy too. The how that happened, what I did, what I maybe should have done different. But it was not a smooth process.
You know, you and I are going to have a feeling about to connect on this once I clarify this with you. So I find this interesting because there was a job that I actually got fired from. And the funny thing was I got let go when I was kicking ass and taking names. The interesting was it was also a sales job. It was in the IT technology sector. And admittedly, I had struggled with the company. A friend of mine had founded the company, a casual friend, like not a close friend. But I was working in their sales team. And I was like, at the time, I was like number three sales guy. But I just closed some big accounts. But I also, like, this was actually, it's kind of funny. This was my first go out west adventure travel trip that I always wanted to do. And I had met a girl and she was moving back west. And there's a whole other backstory to my story when I became, eventually years later, I'd become a wildland firefighter because of meeting that girl. Just learning about what she was going to go do. And I got hooked on it. And that's why I had to go do it for an adventure. But if I go back to 2007, this was the trip. Like this girl was moving home to go do the firefighting thing. And she had like, she was like just doing a hiking trip in Arizona. And she's like, she had called me after she had moved. And she's like, hey, I made it to, you know, Nevada. And the guy I was supposed to hike with can't make it. Can you fly out and join me? Because it's over a week-long trip in the middle of the Havasupai tribal lands in their canyons that connect up to the Grand Canyons, and I don't want to do it alone. And I was just like, sold. I just dropped everything, went and bought a whole bunch of gear at REI, hopped on a plane, and flew out there. Wow. But the point of that story is when I got back, they fired me. I found that interesting because their excuse was not because I wasn't performing, because I had just closed some major deals, one of which had finally like got paid while I was on my vacation. But the other piece of it was their excuse was I didn't fit the company culture. Mm. And admittedly, that I already knew. Like I was always struggling with it because I had already been in the big corporate world and they were still small then. So I was just struggling with the transition. But I was still performing. So I find that interesting that you and I were both kicking ass. And both of our companies decided to let us go, maybe not for the same reasons, but I don't know. Maybe there was a cultural thing for you. I don't know. Was there?
Sort of. On the other, absolutely. I couldn't drink enough corporate Kool-Aid, man.
Oh, dude, they love the corporate Kool-Aid, man. You got to drink that stuff. I mean, you got to do double dose.
You got to bleed blue or green or red or whatever, you know, your company. I couldn't do it enough.
Oh man, I spent 5 years with T-Mobile. I know you've heard of them, the cell phone company. So I was in their one of their corporate call centers, worked my way up from just a call center rep to this before I even went back to school for a degree. Like I kicked ass at that company, got into management, became a coach, was doing business coaching and training and development, and then moved into a business analyst role. But the funny thing was they loved their Kool-Aid. The problem with their Kool-Aid was it was magenta, the company color. So like they wanted us to bleed magenta. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't deal with this. There was so much rah-rah magenta, whatever. I get it, man. The corporations, man, they love their Kool-Aid. They love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So in one way it's sort of similar, and in another way it's absolutely similar, because I I had started a book club. I think I started the book club because I wanted to take a leadership role that would help me get promoted into a job I wouldn't have enjoyed anyway.
You created the book club with your team or like your
It's our floor. There's about 120 sales reps. Okay. We did about $2 billion a year in revenue at Dell. And I got approval from three or four levels above me. You know, hey, what if I emailed everybody about this and wanted to do a book club? And they were ultimately very happy about that. I kind of became known as that was part of my brand. But we started reading stuff like Entree Leadership and John Maxwell's Laws of Leadership, Laws of, you know, this and that.
Yeah, self-development books.
Yeah. And that development outside of the corporate structure and some of the other stuff I was doing, you start seeing how things could be done. And there was a specific story. We can go into it. We don't have to. But there was a specific story that really kind of shed light on, okay, this is not really how things should be done. And from there, I was like, you can't go back. I think the chapter in my book is The Point of No Return. It was called John Maxwell Ruins My Career and The Point of No Return, I think.
First of all, anybody who does self-development or has done, and this is a good reference for our listeners, is John Maxwell is a very well-published gentleman and has helped mold and develop many, many people virtually or just simply through reading his books. So I think it's funny that's one of the people you chose for the book club when you were with that company, because I would have chosen him as well. But then you just said you actually named, you think the name of one of the chapters was John Maxwell Ruins.
Yeah. I think it's chapter nine, maybe. It's pretty, yeah, it's chapter nine. John Maxwell Ruins My Career and The Point of No Return. But I read a story in the book about Costco, actually. And up until that point, I was thinking, okay, all of these leadership lessons, those are fine. They're mostly analysis of companies with, let's call it 500 employees or less.
Sure.
And then I get to the chapter of Costco, which they're one of the top largest retailers in the world in the United States.
Costco's massive. I mean, they're second to Walmart, obviously, but yeah.
They're huge. But they pay their people more, they treat their people better, and all of a sudden I'm reading like, holy crap, this stuff that I've been reading scales more than 500 employees. This could be done here when we have 80,000.
Right.
Because Costco's doing it and they're bigger than we are. So the idea that leadership and giving a crap about your employees and all of these other things that I was reading about, I realized in that chapter – It doesn't only work for small companies or medium sized companies.
No, absolutely. It can work if you got great content, it should be scalable and adaptable to any culture. That's the point. If you have and it sounds like you had the right mindset. Like you were saying, listen, if this content is working great for big companies, and we're a company, even you know, I'm sorry, 80,000 is nothing to joke about. That's still a large company. But I mean, Dell for you said Dell was the biggest account, or when you were
Dell was what do you mean?
So this was for your Dell team, your sales team. This was for your book club at Dell, right?
Yeah. There's about 120 people that I emailed and 10 or so showed up. And then it kept going down.
10 people showed up for the okay, well. Hey, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's a classic old school saying, and it's true. It's like especially when something's new. It's like, you know what, don't expect the world. I mean, but if you can at least get through to 10 people, then they talk to other people, and then if you're putting out good content or in this case you're building the right kind of book club. But I will tell you, to your point you just mentioned, it also helps if the company is actually backing you and supporting you. Just because they said yes to let you do this doesn't mean they were really supporting you, right?
It was kind of passive. I think the part of the problem was that the guy, my boss who got rid of me, started coming to the groups when we were peers, when we both were at the same level. And we all kind of... When you're seeing all this good stuff or reading this good stuff, and you're not seeing it in your environment, it's very easy for those those groups to turn into gripe sessions.
Oh God, yeah.
So
yeah,
I
wait,
tried to
keep that. Are you trying to say that people who work for mid to large size companies have gripe sessions? I don't think that exists. Maybe. What are you talking about? People don't gripe.
So we would have, and I'd try to steer it back, but me and this guy, we knew each other fairly well, and we both went to those meetings and we both aired our grievances, and then he got promoted and didn't forget about it. Hmm. So like I said, it was a long path. It was about 6 months after he got promoted that I actually was ousted, but there's a little bit of history there, but like I told Michael,
that history's in the book, right? So that's the most important thing here, is that we're getting a light overview and we're digging into some meaty sections of the exit strategy. But the good pointers, if everybody wants all the meat and potatoes behind this story, get the book. I mean, it's Exit Strategy. It's on Amazon. Just go get it. It's not expensive.
Yeah, and I don't want to it's the reason why I share this stuff, Scott, on shows like this and in the book is I want people to know that I'm an average guy. I wasn't born to some rich people. I didn't have entrepreneurship running in the family. I didn't go to an Ivy League school. I have a degree also in psychology, by the way.
Oh, cool.
But I didn't have any sort of special circumstances. I didn't go. I'm not from LA or New York or Miami or one of these buzz places. I'm from a town of less than 3,000 people north of Fort Worth, Texas. So part of my message, Scott, is anything that I have done, anybody else can do. You mentioned hustle before in my schedule and what that was like. If you're willing to put in the work and go all in on yourself, betting on yourself and investing on figuring out what kind of value you can add to the world, you can do this. And that's why I included it in my book, because I wanted to make it abundantly clear I'm an average guy.
Well, and I love your point on this. The fact that you're clarifying for our listeners, and again, for Facebook Livers, you'll have to tune into the show on Monday to hear what he's saying, but this will be in the show notes, is that he just made a very, very valid point. He's an average guy. Ellery Wells from Texas, average guy. All right. He chose to create a brand and build something out of, I don't want to call it the ruins, but him leaving the big corporate world, them letting him go after closing a huge multi-million-dollar sales deal, you know, cashing out a nice $20,000 commission check. Like, the guy's, it's not like he's not successful, but the whole point here is that he's an average guy from just like me. I'm not from some huge, just like you said, I'm not from an Ivy League family or school system or anything else. Like, I've had to work for everything. I grew up on a farm. Nope. You know, I'm nobody special, but I chose, just like you chose, to make a difference and start investing in myself. And to, like you just said, your exact slogan was, Ellery went all in on himself. And I'm just literally, while I'm talking to you, Ellery, here, I'm looking at my Facebook Live feed because my boy Brian Strausser, shout out, Brian, I see you. You're joined in and you're watching this. And that's what it's all about, Brian, because Brian's going in all in on himself. He's been on the show twice. We just aired his episode last week again. He's kind of like a fun project. His project's called Strausser Project on Facebook. But he's just like you, Ellery. He's just getting back into where you and I were a little while ago. And that's what he's a classic audience for what you and I are talking about right now, which is start taking action, surrounding yourself with the right people, start investing in yourself. And I love what you just said there, going all in on yourself. That's powerful. I mean, I'm not a gambler, but I get it. It clicks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a gambler either. You want to add another book to your roster, Scott, is a book called Originals by Adam Grant. He's talking about entrepreneurs aren't necessarily big risk takers. A lot of people think they are, but we hedge our bets in other areas and we play it safe over here so we can take risks over there.
True.
And that's kind of where I was. Just I went all in on the one thing that I could really control. It was a lot of struggle, a lot of it's working a lot when you're first starting out, but really,
there's always going to be a lot of extra hard work. Let's be real. Like, it's not easy from day one. We are going to be overworking. But to your point right now, though, yeah, you put in a lot of work and you still are, but it doesn't feel as, how do I word that? How would you word that? It's not the same hard.
You enjoy doing it.
Right. Yeah. It's not the same hard work that you put into your corporate gig, right? There you kind of felt like you had to, and not to say that we don't feel like we have to do this, but it's like, we're enjoying it because we know it's our work. It's our project. It's whatever our business or our initiative or our charity or whatever it is we're influencing on. That's something that we know. That's something that we chose to invest in for ourselves and the people around us. I guess that's how I would word it. I don't know. Maybe you could tweet that.
We don't waste a lot of time or knowledge whenever it's your own business. There's very few things that you'll learn that will go to waste. And
yes.
You know, when you're looking at how you can build a business, you look at a lot of the things that you do today that are going to have results and return tomorrow. And to that point, January was my second largest revenue month that I've ever had.
This year?
Total, period. Awesome. Yeah, just awesome. Last month. And already in February, I have passed what I did last month.
Wait, so January was your biggest revenue month ever to kick off 2017, and now already we're not, what are we, 1 week? No, we're
2 days.
We're 2 days into February, and you've already surpassed that revenue number?
Yeah.
Dude, congrats, bro.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay, so clearly you've been fueling the fire here in 16. Like, this is kicking into gear.
Yeah, and one of my clients asked me what I had done, and I kind of went into a little bit of detail with that group, but part of it is what we're just talking about, doing things that will lead to results later. You know, I'm getting rewards and getting paid on effort and energy I expended, you know, maybe 6 months ago or two or 3 months ago. So it's a couple of big deals for me, new coaching clients and those kinds of things. Plus, it's also affiliate income, book sales, subscriptions, those kinds of things that all accumulate. But people give up. A lot of people just give up before they give themselves the chance.
Yes.
To
let's pause on that. People who give up before they give their work a chance to come to fruition. Have you ever seen that cheesy? It's not cheesy. It's just really a bad drawn piece of artwork. But you see it once more on Instagram. It's the two people digging a tunnel. And the one dude is like scores the diamonds, or he's like, and then the other dude like gives up right before he breaks through the last wall of dirt where the diamonds are on the other side. I don't know if you've ever seen this. I love the graphic. It's like,
I haven't seen the photo, but I've heard of a book.
It's a perfect example. It's just, hey, you got two guys digging tunnels in the cartoon, and the one is like right there, dude, right there. And he gives up. Because he's been putting in all the work, and he just gives it like, dude, stop giving up. So many people, and entrepreneurs are guilty of this. They keep trying and trying and trying, or they think they've tried enough. Now, granted, there's times where you do have to eventually not give up, but maybe change directions with a certain business or an idea or whatever. Like, there is a point of, there's a point of exhaustion on this. But to your point, you just said like, hey man, like there was a lot of steam that you've been building and a lot of business you've been building over the past 6 to 12 months. To start seeing what's now finally coming to fruition this year. And
yeah. Well, and Pat, I was on Smart Passive Income a couple months ago, and at the end
Pat
of
Lynn.
It's session 239.
Nice.
At the end of that, Pat asked me, you know, what motivates me, and it's just what you said is, I can't tolerate the idea that I would have put in all of this effort and then quit. And then being able to look back with our 2020 hindsight and just think, man, I was so close. Yeah. And a lot of people do that. They quit before they have a chance to get results. And if you haven't already started seeing this, Scott, there's people that you kind of started at the same time. You bought a domain or got your podcasting gear at the same time. And now they're not even around anymore.
No.
They quit after 12 episodes.
Well,
and
it's
going.
Funny because people are like, wait a minute, you're not even monetizing your podcast yet. I was like, well, I did have a company give me like a couple of discount codes and stuff that I can give to my audience. Like, but like, that's a whole, I'm building the steam. Like I have to build the brand. I said, Live the Fuel existed before the podcast, but now I'm developing a platform which is literally my own marketing platform. I get to grow the brand clean and organically that I have full control over while, and this is because I'm a big picture thinker. Like I want, that's why everybody who comes on this show, I've only had two solo episodes and that was just for fun because of the holidays. But like, I always have a co-host because I want to bring other people up with me. And I know you get that because we travel in the same circles. And that's one of the things I saw from Thrive as well, is like, that's what it's all about. I know the success will come. I'm not worried about it. For the first time in my life, I'm actually being pretty damn patient. And I'm a crazy adrenaline junkie, go, 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 like full steam ahead, dude. And sometimes my boy Brian will even call me out on that. Like, we're like that, dude. Like, it's just like, whoa, like I got to dial it back a notch once in a while. But in this case, just like you just said, it's like, listen, man, we're building the steam. It's cool. It'll come to fruition. Like, just be patient, stick with it. And to your point, I think I was just listening to a podcast earlier today from Michael on Solopreneur Hour. And I forget who the co-host was, but they had talked about how, actually, I think it was his the most recent one with Don Mars was back on. And they were talking about how there's like over 400,000 podcasts are on iTunes right now. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like another like 1,000 that gets launched every single day. But it's like, okay, have they taken the time to build the brand? Do they know what their messaging is? And are they actually literally in it for the long haul? Or are they going to play this like merry-go-round crap where they're going to launch a brand, then they're going to change their mind. I'm going to take the show back down, and then I'm going to relaunch it. I'm like, okay, dude, like stick with one freaking thing and give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long has your show been up?
Oh, you just had to ask. I've got 112, actually slightly more than that, 112 episodes. I started in November of 2014, but I have not released a new one in like 4 months.
Okay. But again, that was part of your brand early on, and things have also changed. Like, you, since then, you've launched a book. Like, the book came after the podcast, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you were just redirecting, but you're still working on your brand and your business. You didn't shut it down. I'm literally having a brain fart right now. What was the name of your show before? Because you said you haven't launched a new episode in 4 months, but I know the show is still up.
Yeah, so you can search for my name, and it'll probably be one of the top two or three results. I've got an audio blog. I think I'm going to merge that with – it's the Ellery Wells Show.
Oh, okay.
And the first 100 episodes were when I called the show The Empowered Podcast, and then I changed it around 100 to be the Ellery Wells Show.
Yeah, because you were building a brand behind your name. In the beginning, it wasn't fully behind the name. Like, your name hadn't grown enough yet. So
yeah, and it was – I had a different URL too. And whenever I started changing some other things, some of it was more statistically. People were searching more for my name and less for the brand. So that kind of played into it as well.
Well, quick trick on that. I mean, I'm doing the same thing. I decided to, like, Michael, like, if you, Michael always said, like, hey, you have two choices, which I agree with as a marketer, because that's my degree, marketing and psychology, but my background is, I'm like, yeah, you either have a choice. You build a brand behind your name, or you build a brand off of a title. And then once that brand or brands are successful, the name recognition will come. So people
do have
a choice.
That sounds like a great plan. I wish I would have known that's what I was doing.
Because if you go to scottmulvaney.com, it goes right to Live the Fuel. I have not developed a separate site. But I always teach people that if you're going to buy a domain, control your name. Always get your name. I bought my name years ago. So I said, whatever brand I decide to launch, I'm going to just stick Scott Mulvaney and point it right at Live the Fuel. And then if and when I ever need to separate that out, because I have goals to get into more public speaking and motivational type talks and things of that nature. So if I end up building some type of public figure, you know, profile or something behind that, then maybe I may have to separate that out later. But I own that real estate. So if and when that time comes, I'm ready. In your case, you started with a brand as well, and you also started with a show as well, and your name was incorporated in, but now you are just, boom, you are all Ellery Wells.
Yeah, I figured I should probably own it.
Yeah, you know. But I love your tagline, empowering and equipping entrepreneurs. Like, it's clean. Yeah. It's simple. I also love the three E's, like the trifecta, the power of three. I love that. I'd love to see. And like, even like your little logo, man, you got the three inside of the green circle. It could technically be an E. It could be a backwards three. Like, it, I don't know if you ever, is that, Am I actually hitting on that? Is that supposed to look like a backwards three?
I don't think I did that on purpose, but the way I write the E also is how I write a W. So it were. I wish there was a cool way. I think it would get complicated, but I wish there was a cool way to incorporate the E in my name, the E in empowering, equipping entrepreneurs, and then the W. I think there's something there, but
I got something for you right now, dude. I'm actually looking for a new person to redo my animated logo because I have an animated logo, but that was back when I had the fuel as three words, and now I just put it all as one since you use hashtags and everything anyway. I'm like, you know what, just make it all one word. And but I have an animated logo where my logo literally burns in to frame. There's two files, and then there I have one where the logo is solid, but then it burns out, like, so it's like on fire.
Cool.
But in your case, I've seen animated logos utilized where you can break it out. So I could see you taking that three or your E, animating the E within the circle, and having that spin or pivot in those three positions. So you see it as a three, you see it as a E, and you see it as a W. I don't know, just something to think about.
Yeah, I like the Nissan commercials where they have like the phrase and the word changes at the very end.
Yes,
something like that. But
I can literally see your E like bouncing from empowering to equipping to entrepreneurs, or morphing from word to word to word, in some type of animation.
That'd be cool. I mentioned I was pretty average. I'm in a lot of ways not very creative either. So.
I get very visual.
That's
something like
I hadn't even thought of. Yeah. I like that.
Because especially if like, because actually I didn't get, I was all over your social media. I was on Twitter. I did not. Do you have YouTube?
I do. Okay. I do. But it's I messed up the name when I first got started. So it's like Empowered Workforce or something. And
okay. Well, you can always tweak that later or just relaunch everything anyway. But the whole point is I like. That's why I need to get mine redone, because if and when I ever do YouTube content, I stick that animated logo file at the beginning and at the end. So it starts with the brand, closes with the brand, but then the content's in the middle. I just like that just for branding consistency. And I find just animated logos are pretty, pretty cool when done the right way. And you can do that on Fiverr. It's, you can like, just until you find the right one, just play around with like three or four different animated logo designers and see how they do their animations differently. Some people like water, some people like fire, some people just make the stuff move. But I don't know, I'm feeling something there. So that's just my creativeness for you.
Well, thank you. I've got a short video that's like 15 seconds that I can put it like, but it's like a MP4 file that I got from Fiverr. I actually tipped that guy the entire amount of the thing, so he made a little bit more money. But
I've done that too, man. It's such a cheap site. And let's be honest, you don't spend $5. You end up spending like $20, $25 before tip. But when they do good work, and you know, with the exchange rate, I know if they're from Malaysia or wherever they're from, it's going to help them. And if they got good work and they have good skills, I have no problem rewarding them for that, because even if I spend $100, that's still cheaper than like $5,000.
yeah, it's a little bit cheaper than a 99 Designs or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So,
especially when you're just starting out.
So let's catch the audience up here. Besides ellerywells.com, and we've already and we'll tag the show in there too, because even though you haven't put a new show up in 4 months, this is the power of podcasting, is that it's digital content. Unless you delete the show
today,
it's not coming down. Oh, you have a new one coming out?
I want to get a buffer so I can be a little bit more consistent. But one of my listeners emailed me and he's like, "Love the show. Where has it been? You wanted us to keep you accountable, so I'm doing that."
That's a loyal listener holding you accountable. I like that.
Well, in I got on the feedback call with him yesterday just to follow up with his email, and he's like, "In preparation, I re-listened to all of them again a second time."
Hey, that's how when I first found Michael, I was like, it was like episode 60 something. So I listened to two episodes. I'm like, I got to go back, because like he kept referring to old episodes. It was driving me nuts. So I'm the same way. I'll go back, and if they're available, I'll listen to every darn episode, and I'll purge and just crush a new show that I find, just because I find it easy that way. And then I'm all caught up.
There's more Ellery Wells show on the way.
There you go. Awesome. That's good to hear. Well, I mean, it sounds like you've got a great platform, and you obviously clearly have a loyal listener base because you have a listener calling you out and asking you for new content. So, and you know what? Hey, I'll throw it out there. If you need somebody to help you get some new content, if you need me to come on the show, I'll come on the show. I don't care. I've only been on like two other podcasts. I've been really bad at that. I've had multiple podcasters on the show, and I keep forgetting to follow up. I'm like, hey man, let me know when you need me to come on your show.
Yeah,
I'm really bad at that. So, and you don't have to worry about sound audio quality with me because I followed Michael's guidance. So I literally have a mixer board. I have a Zoom recorder. I have a Heil PR40 microphone that I'm talking into right now. So I've got all the nice stuff.
I saw that in the brief glimpse I got at the Facebook feed. This Heil
is ridiculous.
Did you see the one that was like black and gold or something? I think it was like a special edition.
Yeah, I think that was the big pimping model. I'm not sure if I'm worthy
awesome.
Of that. Yeah. Black
that
and gold trim.
Really
I'm,
cool.
I was like, you know, I'm waiting for like the titanium with gunmetal mix. I don't know. I think that'd be really styling. So I'm not a gold fan. I like silver. So we'll see.
Me too.
Yeah. I don't know. Me too. I mean, Heil's making good stuff. I don't even know if Michael's still using a Heil. I have to look at his studio setup. He keeps changing. He's a total gear geek. So I thought I was bad.
Yes, he is.
So with everything you got going on, I mean, clearly January and February, you're kicking ass and taking names. Your financials are crushing it. So clearly, if we rewind back to the beginning of the show, we hinted about how financials make things easier. So what are your goals here, man? Like what's the health piece, the healthy piece and the lifestyle piece? We just kind of really are slam dunking the business piece over the past few minutes here. Like what are your goals on the healthy lifestyle piece going forward here? Is there anything big coming up or any kind of life balance travel or anything big that's going on in your life?
I've got a pretty good mix right now. You had mentioned something before, I think it's more about the schedule. And I realized that I was really busting, working a lot so that I could spend more time with my wife. And then I was like, you know what? Tomorrow's not guaranteed. So when she comes home, now I usually stop working when she gets home and we hang out until we go to sleep. So I've purposefully or been very intentional about creating the lifestyle bit of my business. The health, I like hitting the heavy bag in the garage, and I just got a new jump rope. And both of those things are insane. Like 10 minutes of jumping rope, you barely walk.
You jump rope for 10 minutes? Oh, you got me. Dude, yeah. I coach CrossFit every Friday, and we do rope, and I do not jump rope for 10 minutes straight. Like, that's baller. That's a sweat
fest.
Sometimes
I trip and take a break and those kinds of things. But, yeah, I was doing 10 minutes. It's hard. It's really hard. And then I don't have a 100-pound heavy bag. I got a 80-pound off of when I got it from some dude on Craigslist a couple years ago.
Oh, you can score some sweet fitness gear off of Craigslist. Yeah.
Yeah, you can. But that's exhausting. I do about 15 minutes of that. And then I think that's kind of what you're asking about, the fitness stuff.
Yeah. Just healthy lifestyle in general. Like, is there anything? Because, again, I mean, when you could define health in multiple ways, yeah, there's the fitness piece. It could be, heck, you could be getting all zen on us. I don't know. Or you could be getting into yoga. Or maybe you're just crushing some new nutritional, like, meal style stuff. I don't know. Because, I mean, again, I'm literally getting to know you with our audience. This happens more times than not with most of our co-hosts because I stumble across people at events and all of a sudden, boom, or we're in the same circle. It's like, oh, dude, I didn't even know you have a new book. Let's get you out there. Let's promote it. So I literally get to learn just like our audience is from you.
Well, I will tell you what, I've started doing this. I got the smartwatch from Samsung, the Gear S2, and then I upgraded to the S3 like 4 days later. And I've got this drink water reminder. So I've set a reminder to a full gallon of water every day. I don't drink a whole lot of sodas or anything anymore.
Good. Very good. Water is life.
Yeah, so that's kind of an experiment that I'm going for, and that's kind of my biggest dietary thing. I don't work out really at all. I haven't been in a gym in a
even if you don't work time, out per se or go to a gym, two of the biggest components of the trifecta here is nutrition, like how you fuel the body, how you rest the body, proper sleep cycles, and then the fitness. Like, so if you eat like crap and you drink like crap and you don't sleep for crap, what's the point? The gym results are going to be minimal as well, because the body needs to heal and recover, and it needs the right fuel for fueling the body, and it needs the right rest and recovery to heal the results and make it even more lasting. So you're on the right track, and that's smart, dude, because actually last time I checked the statistics, I believe, God, I haven't checked this in a couple of years, but like 70%+ of the population are dehydrated because they don't know how to properly hydrate and consume the right amount of water. Or they think, oh, well, there's water inside of coffee and soda, so I'm hydrating. And I was like,
well, my Google Home did tell me that coffee and tea count towards your water intake, that it was a myth that hadn't been debunked. What do you think about that?
I do love my coffee, and I do love my espresso. And actually, I'm a bulletproof coffee guy, so I drink it with it depending on my day. I also do it's all about healthy fats, man. Like, stop. The biggest tip of the day here is get as much healthy fats into your diet as possible, because fat is energy. If people don't have enough fat in their diet, this whole low-fat craze that's been going on for 15, 20 years is exactly why we have all the health problems we have. That's just one of many things, but that's a big, big contributing factor. So
your brain needs it too.
Thank you. Yes. Most of your brain tissue is fatty tissue. So if you are not refueling it with healthy fat sources, you're becoming a moron, among many other things.
Look at bodybuilders. They one of my wife's friends does the bikini competition.
Yeah.
And I doubt she'll listen to this, but I'd probably tell her to her face too. But she goes nuts like the last month before the show, because she cuts out so much from her diet. Like, memory is a problem.
Oh God, yeah. There's Michael just had an ex bikini model on his show, Zalata, I believe her name is pronounced, a Russian girl. And she's got I think it's Sexy Smart or Sexy Fit, sexyfit.com. She's in San Diego. And she spoke to that exact point, is that most bikini models, physique models, bodybuilding, whatever, first of all, you don't look like that year round. What they show on stage or in the magazines is that last week of just hell on earth, and people are sacrificing their body. There's literally a hydration cut that happens like right before they go on stage. So a lot of the people you see on stage are literally dehydrated, just like a look even more lean and cut. Part of the problem is that they are sacrificing a lot of essential nutrients out of their diet, thinking that they know what they're doing. So there is, I agree. I don't support a lot of that. I believe in a healthy fueled body, and healthy fats are a key point in that. So if you're hydrating well, wonderful. Back to your original question. Yeah, you can get water out of coffee. I don't count it towards my quota because I just drink coffee for fun anyway. But I count my I carry the big Nalgene water bottles, and I'm literally making the hand motion here on Facebook Live, but so it's not going to help the listeners. But I carry at least two or three of those in my car at all times, because I travel a lot for business. So literally when I'm in an airport, I take one, clip it on a carabiner, and when I go through TSA, I either chug the bottle, because then I have to go to the bathroom before I go on the plane, which I always do anyway, because I always try and see if I can make it through the flight without having to use the airplane bathroom just for fun. But I will take it on there, but then I'll stop. A lot of the nice airports, they now have like the really, really nice filtered water fountains now. And if they don't, I'll go to the bookstore or whatever at the airport, buy a big giant bottle of water, just dump it back into my Nalgene, clip it back on my carabiner, clip it on my carry-on or my laptop bag or whatever, and I go on the plane. So I have water with me at all times. It is the essential piece of life, and it's definitely a regular thing for me. So I'm glad you're using the intelligence of the smart technology. I heard Samsung watches are doing very, very well right now. So whether you have an Apple Watch or a Samsung Watch or you just have an iPhone, like, that's a smart thing. Stick it in your calendar. Put a reminder up and start seeing what it's like when you actually have a well-hydrated body. Because if I don't drink enough, I don't know, maybe you've experienced this, but I've literally gotten occasionally like headaches. And sometimes I get that from malnourishment too. If I'm off my meal cycle, oh yeah, I'll get a headache from that too.
I've been a big water drinker for a long time. Even when I was in corporate America, I'd have a big 32-ounce thing that I'd fill up 2 or 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. And then I don't do cream or sugar in my coffee, so it's just straight black coffee. And I've always done that. So,
well, first of all, kudos, because black coffee is better than anything with sugar in it. But I will tell you, like when I was firefighting, because we were in the middle of the woods, yeah, that's all we drank cowboy coffee, man. You wake up, you throw out your camp stove, and you throw the grounds on and water, and you got coffee. There's no sugar, there's no cream, there's none of that crap. Yep. Again, with the right fat sources, like again, the bulletproof method is you're either using a grass-fed butter or a coconut oil in your coffee, or a great substitute is I will literally, if a place has it, I'll ask them for heavy whipping cream. I'll put a little dollop of that in there, or I'll just use straight half and half. But I don't like fill the darn thing with it, but I put another dose of just a little source of healthy fats into that coffee, because then I got at least most people just don't have enough fat in their diet. And and that's just my way of cycling in just a little bit of fat for energy throughout the day. And granted, I don't drink a ton of coffee either. I might have like 1 or 2 cups in a day, and that's it. Or I'll have like 1 espresso or a latte. Like when I go to – I'll sometimes order stuff from Starbucks if I'm like desperate and I don't have anything with me. But I will get a latte, but I tell them it has to be a breve latte. They have to make it with the half and half because I want the richer fat content. I don't want – first of all, skim milk should be thrown out. Some people have dairy issues, whatever. The whole point is the richer the fat content, the better it is. So,
yeah. Yeah. By the way, you should check if you're not already aware of Pete's Coffee. Pete's something?
I have heard of Pete's Coffee. Where are they from?
I don't know where they're out of, but they make Starbucks taste as overdone as they are.
Oh, God,
actually.
Yeah. Yes, the Starbucks roasts the crap out of the coffee beans. Their coffee is not good. I get the espresso there. That's it.
I'll get a caramel macchiato, and I go on Wednesdays over to Starbucks. They've got some comfy chairs.
That's like my secondary office. I'd say probably a third of my episodes have been done at a Starbucks live because I have all the travel equipment.
There you go.
Because you're right. They have very comfortable chairs. So why not? But I will tell you the trick with the coffee, and I will say I'm like Michael. He and I work with the same nutrition company on the side. So we actually have our own coffee, and I love it because they actually infuse it with green tea oil extracts and stuff. It's like it's amazing. It's like the smoothest coffee that I've ever drank. So I will say I do experiment with other coffees because actually at Thrive, Rich Brocchini, if you ever listen to this episode, Rich, shout out. He was one of the guys at the event. He's very, very good friends with Cole Hatter. And he is a fire chief, a battalion chief for California, for fire. That's his career. But he's a crazy entrepreneur. Like he's got real estate business, but he also owns his own coffee company. And his coffee is called Third Alarm Coffee. And proceeds a percentage of his sales. He has tied to purpose, something we learned at Thrive. And he actually helps firefighters living with cancer.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's like, so I have to buy his coffee once in a while just because I'm an ex-firefighter. And I'm like, all right, dude, it's a company with purpose. So, I mean, everything that I buy from Isagenics, which Michael uses as well, that's tied to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So great. Every time I buy stuff, they have their own charity that feeds hungry children in other countries. But then I also donate every single month when I have my order come, there's money going to the Make-A-Wish. So that's automated. And then I'm buying Rich's coffee now too, just to offset it a little bit because I also want to give back to firefighters. So I'm rotating it around. So if Pete's, I'll have to look up Pete's because if Pete's is doing something and they're running their company with a balance of purpose, I'll probably try some of theirs as well.
I don't know that they have any sort of donation element to their business, but they are, if you're just looking for coffee, you mentioned travel, and they were in San Diego, San Francisco, Chicago, some places I've been in. I was glad I didn't even see a Starbucks, but Pete's is much better.
Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot of coffee companies are much better.
Yeah. I mean, if you believe the studies, people rated McDonald's coffee higher than Starbucks coffee. It's just not as glamorous and doesn't cost as much.
I can't help with those statistics because I just can't step foot into a McDonald's. I just can't.
I'll eat a sausage McGriddle or a big breakfast. I'm not above that, but it's once, maybe twice a year. So
okay, and please tell me that I heard you say caramel macchiato earlier. Please tell me you're not ordering those a lot. Hopefully that's only once or twice a year, because the sugar load in that recipe is off the charts. If anything, just get a regular macchiato. Don't get the caramel.
Usually it's like when my wife goes, she'll go and get like the non-fat, no foam, blah, blah, blah. And I'll just get the caramel macchiato, but I might have five a year.
Okay. Well, the people closest to us are the hardest ones to help. So I could tell you this, but she probably won't listen to you, but like tell her to switch from that no fat crap over to full fat and she'll actually get better results.
I will definitely tell her.
You need the healthy fats. Stop. I can't stand when I'm in a coffee shop and people are like, oh, I need the no fat, no foam. I'm like, oh, you're stripping all the good stuff out. When you put the other stuff in, there's no fat in there to balance it. That's the other thing. Like, they tell no fat, but then they're having sugar added. I'm like, at least if you're still going to eat the sugar, leave the fat in there, because the body can then use the fat to counterbalance the sugar load and hopefully slow a little of that absorption down. I mean, I'm still all about no sugar, but God, for God's sakes, leave the fat in. You need the fat. That's actually the good fat.
I guess that's the funky drinks at Starbucks are better than the extra large cheeseburger and fries with the Diet Coke, but
That's a whole different other. First of all, I mean, you're a smart man. You already said you don't drink soda, so I'm already giving you props on that, because I haven't touched soda. I've been saying over 15 years. I have to do the math. It might be close to 20 now. I never liked it, and I always just tasted syrups. And since I don't eat a lot of sugar and I'm not a sweets guy anyway, like, I just could never stand it. I just couldn't do it.
Good for you.
Yeah, but kudos to you as well. This has been awesome, man. I'm glad we were able to catch up. I mean, our listeners now know all about EllaryWells.com. Okay, we talked about it at the beginning of the episode. We talked about the middle episode. We're talking about the end of the episode. So again, listeners, go check him out, dude. Like, go learn about his story. Go on Amazon, buy his book. Okay, it's awesome. I already ordered it. I'm going to actually check it all out, because I've already read the preface. I've already been on your Amazon profile. And I love the story from your episode with Michael O'Neill. It's been awesome. And I was totally, totally upset because I didn't run into you at Thrive, because I met so many great people. And I'm like, man, that would have been another great connection at Thrive. But luckily, we're connected through the solopreneur circles and it all worked out.
Yeah. And we'll definitely connect. I'm ready for them to tell us what the dates are so I can book hotels and flights and stuff for us.
Yeah, no,
at
the end of that last day, I ended up going and having dinner with Cole and his family and his close staff. So we were hanging out and like, what do you guys think? And we're like, dude, it's San Diego. I mean, it's kind of hard to beat San Diego. Yeah. I'm not a huge Vegas fan, but I know that maybe it's a little bit cheaper. But so I don't know. I know Vegas was the first year, San Diego was the second year. I guess we'll see what happens.
I think San Diego was cheaper than Vegas.
Oh, it was? Okay.
In Vegas, you can't eat.
Oh, that's right. That's what people were saying.
Like,
that was
$40 for lunch.
Yeah. That was the problem with Vegas. You have to walk everywhere. There was nothing close. I mean, they picked a big pimpin'. Like, the Grand Hyatt was amazing, by the way, in San Diego. I love staying there. That thing was majestic.
It was great.
And we had plenty of food stuff nearby. It was great. I had no complaints.
Yeah. Yep. I would be all right with – that was my first time in San Diego, and so I'd go there again. Absolutely.
I think I've been here like one, two, three, at least five or six times now. So, yeah, I have no complaints. I'll go back there in a heartbeat. It's like a
mini vacation. We'll definitely have to grab a sandwich or a beer or a wine or tea or whatever you're into.
Oh, we're definitely hanging out.
Next one.
And I brought my travel podcast gear this year, or I should say now it's last year, it's 2016. And I'm bringing it again because I banged out at least two or three episodes just at the event during breaks and over lunch.
Heck
so,
yeah.
I love doing live sessions because you get people in the heat of the moment. Everything is fresh. We can reflect on what's happening right there, right now. So, yeah, we're definitely going to be catching up at the next Thrive. So
sounds good, man. Well, thanks for having me on.
Well, this has been awesome. So And just for your benefit and for all of our co-hosts, you get the final word of the show. So this is an opportunity where... Come on, man. No, this is your chance to say, listen, it's whatever people want to say, but the whole point here is that this show is a platform. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help everybody else. In the big pictures, we're helping our listeners. So I've had co-hosts that I tell them, like, listen, if you want to do a quote, do a quote. You don't have to do a quote. I'm like, this, what is your message? And you're not going to have a problem answering this, because usually I tell people, like, listen, this is your final word to the audience. If they don't remember anything else from the episode and they just hear this or they read this in the show notes, what is that message that you're trying to give to the people out here that are either coming across your website or are buying your book? What is that all-encompassing thing that you're trying to put out there to the world so that our audience can remember that about you?
Sure. Well, I'll do a quote, and not to be self-centered, I think I came up with this a few years ago, but a quote and then my piece of advice. The quote is, you can't make a positive change with a negative attitude. And live that, surround yourself with the right people. You can't make a positive change with a negative attitude. And then the second part would just be, surround yourself with right people, positive people who will encourage you, keep you accountable, and moving towards the goals that you have set for yourself. Because your circle of influence, the people that you surround yourself and spend the most time with, they have more of an impact on you than you probably realize.
Well said, sir. Well, and stay on the line. We'll say goodbye to you when we get off here. But again, guys, to your listeners out here, for the Facebook Livers, I'm not going to share with you his final words, because you got to go download the episode and listen in. So he just dropped some awesome closing notes and some very, very simplistic, powerful quote tip that I've said multiple times, but I'm going to let you guys listen to that on the episode when it airs this Monday. So again, to our listeners, guys, this is another powerful Live the Fuel episode with Ellery Wells. Check him out at ellerywells.com. Get the book. Go on Amazon. Support his mission and what he's doing. But again, guys, this is what it's all about. We're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. Keep living the fired up epic life. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.